And we're here on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown, WGR Radio, Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, talking Lions football winner owners meetings. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. Yeah, the owners meetings. How about that?
Owners meetings where I have no idea after the second day anything that happens. They do a few rule changes. They coaches take pictures. You might hear some gossip. Is there anything else? What do the owners actually do?
Well, they work, you know, they have different groups within the, you know, within the whole 32 owners. And they, you know, like you just started to say, they change different, you know, different rules, changes, things like that. They ponder a lot of things and you know, put it away and work on it next year or the year after, the year after. But it's, you know, it's one of the reasons that it's one of the reasons the National Football League works so smoothly, because they stay ahead of things.
Yeah, they do stay up on it. And the biggest news out of these meetings were rule changes that the owners made. And one of the rule changes, I'm not going to get into the drop tackle one because that's too deep, and we'll just see how that plays out. If the game is going to be a touch football game the way the naysayers say it, or that it's the best thing ever to happen to football the way the pro opponents, the people who wanted it, have. So we'll just wait on that. And I guarantee if anything goes wrong with any rule change, they will drop it in a minute. They won't even wait to the next season. So that's one thing about the NFL. They'll change up in a weekend.
Oh, yeah, sometime, Ken, you're going to see a referee call time, listen to a little thing in his ear, and you know what? There's no more punting in this game.
That's
there's
right.
So much punting.
That's right. Well, the thing that I found out, the second rule was the new kickoffs, and anybody, I'm not going to try to explain it here on the podcast. Go to, there's videos out on it. It's the XFL kind of kickoff style where the two teams are 5 yards apart. The kicker's like 20 yards back. He kicks it. They can't move until the ball is touched, and then you run it back. It's a real strange thing. It looks strange, but I was looking at television the other night, and there was only 4 kickoff returns in the league last year total out of all those games. So something needed to be done. So I understand why they wanted to make a change.
You mean kickoff returns for touchdowns?
For touchdowns, yeah. It's kickoff returns,
yeah,
but kickoff returns
for
touchdowns.
You know, Ken, I don't know if you go back to, and until I go in a little bit of my history, but go back to 1989 when the National Football League adopted a version of free agency. It wasn't, you know, complete free agency, but it was a version of it. And the Lions signed a player named Mel Gray. Mel Gray. Well, he was a terrific return man. I think he had something like 7 or 8 or 9 returns for touchdowns in his stay with Detroit. And I think that adds to the game. I really do. I don't think it subtracts from it. I think it adds from it. Not just because he did it, but other guys have done it. But
Metcalf's, the Billy White Shoes Johnsons, there was
all
return
specialists.
Everybody, a return specialist was a known player in the league through the 70s and 80s and 90s. And don't forget, you had a return specialist make the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago, Devin Hester. I mean, a return specialist. So you got to put that back in the game.
Right. And I thought Mel Gray had a chance. Not a great chance, but I thought he had a chance to make the Hall of Fame. Didn't quite make it. And look, had a good career, and a lot of it was here in Detroit when the Lions got him from the New Orleans Saints. But he and others like him added an awful lot. Even if you're not going to return it for a touchdown, there's just an apprehension there that he might do it.
Yeah, and it's an exciting play, and it's good for TV. It's good for people in the stands at the game. It's a good play. And like I said, if they're taking off the, they're taking out the onside kick basically now. So this is a way to get back in the games. And, you know, it's just I don't have a problem with it all. And like I said, we'll see. Now, if it's 400 kickoff returns for touchdowns next year, you won't be seeing that rule the year after. So,
right.
You know, but anyway.
Well, here's one thing. One thing that the Detroit Lions generally, even in years when they've had, you know, not a lot of success winning games, they've always been pretty good to really good on special teams. And I think that the group they have here again this year, they'll come up with some twists and turns and things like that nobody expected. I mean, nobody.
Yeah, well, Dan Campbell's excited about it.
Absolutely.
During his meeting at the owners' meetings, he said he got with Pip, who's the special teams coach,
right,
and they're working up things they can do now, and it's going to be a big brainstorm thing. And look, that's what, to me, coaching is. It's not just offensive defense. The special teams are a third of the team, and they can lose a game for you, they can win a game for you. And I'm excited to see – you know, real coaches, how they put this thing to work, because I've seen coaches talk about, well, we might want a corner kick now, or you might have to go find a big leg kicker that's just going to kick it out of bounds. It's just a whole bunch of new rules, and I like it.
Right, and look, and there's some sort of apprehension, I guess, that you have to, if you're going to try an onside kick, you have to announce it. Look, when one guy's got, when you've got six guys on one side and four on the other, they're going to know it's an onside kick. Okay,
yeah.
There's no secrecy about it.
Right, or if you're down 28-10 with 4 minutes left in the game and they're kicking off, you know they don't want to give you the ball back. They got to get the ball, so you're going to know they were going to try the onside kick anyway.
And sometimes you can get the very sad ending when, like 1980 with the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day, a guy from the Chicago Bears on the first play of overtime ran a kickoff back for a touchdown to beat the Lions.
There you go.
So there you go.
So also at the meetings you are here, we had our long-form interviews with Dan Campbell at the breakfast meeting and Brad Holmes, who held court, looked like outside of the hotel or in the lobby where there was a nice view. But anyway, I thought of – and Rob Wood talked. I didn't see that. Mike will fill you on what Rob Wood said. I didn't see him. But Brad Holmes, the things he said that were interesting to me, we'll both go through that, and then we'll go through Dan Campbell. We'll go through Brad first. And, you know, I went back and watched it again. The two need to coordinate on one thing. There was a discrepancy in it, and I'll get to that in a minute. But Brad Holmes was saying that he had his A-list of free agents, and he got every one of them, the guys he went after. He said other teams may go after other guys, but we got who we wanted. It was like one of the first times ever for him, and he was surprised. Are you buying that? Are you buying that were the guys he went for, and he wasn't going for any of those other names?
Yeah, well, I mean, probably there were a couple he might have thought he could go after, but he wasn't going to be able to get. So, yeah, I believe it, and I don't have any reason not to.
Yeah, I don't believe that, but as close as good. Maybe he had a list, but I thought maybe he might have put his foot in the water of some of the higher-priced guys like Daniel Hunter, and then when he saw it was going to be too much, moved on. But
well, he might have been not been on their list, but they called to ask just to and see what the chances were, and moved on.
Right.
I don't think that compromises what he said.
Now, one of my things I am not happy with that Brad didn't address it, but I think
you
they
are?
Should have spent more time trying to get Darius Sneed. And for him going for a third pick and a swap of seventh rounders, and the third pick is next year, I wish the Lions would have gotten it. I know if they would have gotten to the bidding would have went higher and they would have had to give up a little more. But I just think that was a player they should have looked at more. I know the price tag is high. He ended up getting like a 19 mil average or whatever. Maybe that's against what Brad Holmes wants to do. But I would have liked at least for them to explore that a little further. That's the only thing of free agency that I had a problem with. I wanted to get and like I said, the DJ Reader and the rest of Carlton Davis and maybe great pickups, and Carlton Davis may do everything that Jadarius Sneed could, but I think Jadarius Sneed was a known, and I just wish they would have put a little more effort into trying to get him.
Well, they might have put effort to a point and decided not
right.
to.
Right.
Who knows?
So that's the
bottom line. Is the Lions got two quarterbacks that they're happy with, you know, really, really satisfied with, and let's move on.
Yeah, they got two. Amik Robinson from the Raiders being the other one, but
yep.
They lost one, Sutton, so they're still on the lookout for one. And Brad Holmes did say in an interview that they may pick one up. Well, when I say look on the lookout, that was a bad choice of terms there. They're on the lookout.
Look out for it.
Right, there's a lot of teams on the lookout right now for a lot of police agencies on the lookout for a quarterback, too. But
right. They're
on the lookout for a cornerback, a third one. Now, they may sign one before. This is where the discrepancy part where I had Campbell and Brad Holmes. In Brad Holmes' thing, he was saying that they were going to the draft and they're pretty satisfied now, and he'll probably pick up one in the draft. He's always drafted a secondary guy. Dan Campbell was saying they were going to pick up a veteran before the draft, he kind of alluded to. He said, yeah, we're short on corner. We want to add one to the compete of the room. So I think they both weren't on the same page. I think they're going to add one before the draft and then one, too.
I mean, a couple of things, Ken. What you often see is right around the 1st of June or whatever, when there's some rules on contracts that play into your salary cap and things like that, and plus the players that teams have drafted and signed as free agents, they start cutting players. And I'm sure that all 32 teams probably have a list of possibles who might be cut, who might fit into their scheme, fit into their system. You know, might be a young player. You know, some guy might be with a couple of years left or a younger player. I'm sure the Lions are set in that regard too.
Yeah, but that June 1st thing, you can't depend on that, because I've looked over. I'm telling you, I looked over the last couple of years. The number of June 1st cuts has gotten lower every year, and the players are not exactly these high-end players that are getting cut, because usually they'll designate you June 1st and cut you already, or they've already, you know, done with your contract and let you go. You rarely see those guys cut, Mike. Go back and look the last couple of years. The players that are cut are not guys that, you know, you'll run after immediately, so I just think that the guys that are out there now are pretty much what's out there, and you're going to have to find one of those guys like Xavier Howard or, Tre'Davious White signed last night with the Rams, you know, for $10 million contract. I was looking at him, but injury guy, but at one time he was an all-pro almost, a good cornerback. So he came from the Bills. So they'll find a guy, and then they'll draft a guy. So I don't have a problem with that. But it does make an interesting draft now, because – you really don't know which way they're going. And the reason why I'm saying it's interesting, because Josh Reynolds, who Brad Holmes said in his press conference, they were trying to sign. They wanted to sign him. He was part of the plan. Ended up going to the Denver Broncos for, I'm not even going to say the years and the money, because it was 2 years, but I'm not going to say the money, because I don't believe that money is when the final contract comes out. I'm just saying that's the agent putting it out. But he signed a lucrative 2-year deal, according to the agent. I'm not surprised he left. I'm not surprised he probably, if he could get the money, wanted to go somewhere else. I don't think he wanted to come back into the pressure, not the pressure, but the heat he was going to take coming back. And I just feel that it was best for both of them.
Yeah, it was best for both of them as well. Well, you know what? Jameson Williams steps up here now, too. There's only so many balls to throw, and I think Jameson Williams will get more of those now. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, he'll get a bigger role, but they still are missing a big receiver. Donovan Peoples-Jones is 6'2". He's 6'2", but 200 pounds. I'm talking about a 6'4 guy like DJ Chark was a few years ago. I'm not saying Calvin, but just a big receiver, an ex-receiver. So I think that the draft, if they draft receiver, it's going to be a bigger receiver. A 220-pound, a 230-pound, a big guy. Because the one thing they didn't have in the office last year was, you know, the throw ups to the corner, the jump balls in the corner, whatever. They didn't have that guy. You know, they didn't have him last year, the year before.
Maybe not on
a
consistent basis, but I don't think scoring was a problem for the Detroit Lions.
No, but that opens up your field, though. I just think they have a great offense, no doubt. But it can even be better this year, because I think Jameson Williams is going to
be better.
I saw another thing too. I'm glad we're doing this today, because for all those I don't know, not the behind the. Behind the scenes of the Mike and the Cannon podcast. We did one yesterday, but Josh Reynolds got cut right after, so we decided to do this again. I'm glad we did, because I saw something this morning. CJ 2000, the Tennessee running back, Chris Johnson, was on a podcast yesterday, and he said, you got to make Jahmyr Gibbs the premier back and give him the ball. He said, don't waste him, platooning him. He said, I'm telling you right now, he saw him at Alabama and knew he was the next guy. He said, this guy's the guy. He said, Montgomery's good and great, but you got to get this kid the ball. And I'm just wondering, I know it's early and we're going to get into that later on, but does CJ have a point?
I don't know. I can't say that they misused Gibbs at all. I really don't. He got his carries. He got his catches. He showed a couple of raw spots for a young player. But look, he's a 3-year player in college, and I thought he had a really terrific, terrific rookie season. I didn't see anything wrong with the way they used him.
Yeah, but that's not you copping out on me. That's fine the way they used him, but going forward, increase his?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, of course. Of course.
Okay, so if you're increasing his usage, it's going to be at the extent of Montgomery's playing time.
Well, Montgomery doesn't really figure in the passing game for the Detroit Lions. It's not his game, but he's a guy who can score touchdowns for you. He can go the distance for you. He's proven that too. Look, the ball doesn't care who's carrying it. Okay, how it gets to the end zone doesn't matter. And I think they've got a good 1-2, and maybe even, with Craig Reynolds, if he's still on the roster, can chip in a little bit at a moderate level. But no, I think they're really in really good shape with the running backs.
Okay, I'll put it like this. This is the way I'm going to say it, and then we'll leave it, because we're not going to solve it until training camp anyway. if last year it was a 60-40, and this is the run, just running, forget about the pass game, because the pass game Gibbs is, to me, the superior player. But in the run game, it was 60-40 Montgomery, probably. Montgomery, 60% of the carries. Maybe even 65-35. That's what it was last year. This year, it's got to be 60-40 Gibbs. Gibbs has got to get more carries. He's great in the pass game, but he's great in the run game. I want to see him with more carries.
You know, when you look at his average per carry, it was good. It was really good. But I don't think he's the guy you want running inside. I don't think you want that. I don't think you want that goal to go. I don't think that's his forte.
No, but he can do that too. I just want him on the field as much as possible. So anyway, that's something Chris Johnson said. So we'll keep an eye on that. But I do agree with him that, look, you're only gonna have backs for so many years anyway, man. You might as well use them until you can't use them.
So, well, save them, too. That's the other part of it. Yeah. Save them. Don't wear them out.
Right. So that was the part of the Brad Holmes part, back to the Brad Holmes interview. And then we go to Dan Campbell, who, to me, has got the spring back in his step. I thought after the NFC Championship game, especially the press conference after, and then the week after where we had him in Allen Park, he knew an opportunity was missed, but I think he's energized again. I don't know, maybe the vacation or whatever, but he's ready to go. You could tell by the way he was talking, he's ready to go, and I don't think he's going to let this team fall back.
No, I don't either. But look, they could be 11-6 and be just as good, if not better, than last year, just the way the games go. But yeah, I think they're better equipped right now than they were at the start of last season. And so I think that in a way, you could have higher expectations for them, even though, look, they're a terrific season, you know, 12-5 and then two more in the playoffs. But I don't see any issue with that. I really don't. First of all, it's a young team. Why would they be satisfied? They're just getting going.
Yeah, but you know everybody, when they first get to Hollywood, they want to hit Hollywood and Vine and wear their sunglasses and don't want to do the work that got them to Hollywood and Vine. So that you got to be careful of that with a young team, because a young team can start reading their own press clippings, you know, like I said. So that's where he's got to be stronger this year, too, on that. Make sure that, okay, you guys can't be reading what's going on. You guys better know that everybody's coming for us.
Ken, you've seen Dan Campbell at work for 3 years. Do you think any of these are going to allow any of that stuff?
No, that's what I'm saying. I was worried that he might have thought, man, that was an opportunity that we missed. I have to step back and we got to change this. No, he's like, this is what we do, and we're going to keep doing it. And that's what I like about him.
But the reality is it was an opportunity missed.
Yeah.
That first half, Kenny, just one thing real quick here. That first half of football against in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers, you can't play better than that. You really can't.
No.
I have to do everything perfectly, but that's as good as you can play.
Yeah, except for one thing.
What?
At the end of that half, I would have went for the touchdown instead of that field goal. I would have wanted to put him down 20. I would have went. That's the only thing. He was aggressive all year. That was one time I would have just tried to put the nail in the coffin right there.
Well, he thought an extra 3 points was the nail in the coffin.
Well, he admitted he thought about it. He said if it would have been a half a yard closer, he would have went for it. But that's the only thing I question that he did. Because later on when it's 4th and 2, you went for it. And then the other one when it was 4th and 3 or whatever, you went for it. That would go for it then. But, you know, neither here nor there. That game's over. He said he didn't even look with the coaches. They only looked started in the second half because they just want to know where everything fell apart there, and that's the part they were concentrating on. He said he hadn't even watched the first half. So I'm going to be with him. I haven't watched the game yet. I'm still traumatized. I have not got the game on my DVR and have not watched it yet. But I will.
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to buy a DVR just so I can not watch it.
Well, and I'll tell you what, for all the people out there listening to us now, the NFL Network has been messing with the Lions this whole week. They've showed 3 games this week. You know, they're doing all the old games.
Yeah,
they showed
the
Baltimore game from 2001, 2020 or whatever when Tucker kicked the field goal.
Right.
Then the next day they showed the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary back in 2015 that lost the game on the Thursday night football game. And I was watching yesterday, they showed the Seattle first game of the year, the Seattle game, and it went to overtime. We lost when Tyler Lockett got the touchdown at the end of the game. I said, "What is this Lions lose at the last second week on the NFL Network? What is going on?" So they have been teasing us all week.
you know what, I think maybe Mike Green of Get Up in the Morning and U.S. Maybe he's running these shows now.
All right, before I get to this last thing, anything else from Dan Campbell that you got out of his press?
Nah, I think we've covered enough of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we've got enough. Yeah.
Now, another thing, I'm glad we did this podcast today, too. The over and under wins have come out in the last few hours or whatever.
You're kidding.
No.
How did I know? You know what? It doesn't matter. We're not allowed to gamble.
Well, you're not allowed to gamble, but you are allowed to talk about it.
I'm going to put my fingers in my ears, and I'm not going to listen to this.
Kansas City Chiefs are the top favorite at 11.5 is their over and under on wins.
11.5?
11.5 is the over and under for Kansas City.
Take the over. Go ahead.
The Lions are at 10-5. Let me get this out, man. The Lions are at 10-5, along with Green Bay at 10-5. And there are a few other teams. There are a couple other teams at 10-5. The Lions are second to the 11-5 of the Kansas City. I think it's one of the teams. Dallas is at 10-5, I believe. No, the Philadelphia Eagles are at 10-5. So 10-5, Lions wins. Is that a good bet? Is that a good, or are they going to go over that?
Well, it's an enticing bet. It really is, in my estimation. Not that I'm an expert on this, but I would take.
Looking at their schedule, they're playing what do you call that division? The South, AFC South.
AFC South.
And they're playing the NFC East, I believe, this year, right? Or they're playing the NFC. The NFC. Oh, they're playing the West this year because I think they're playing San Francisco again. And
right. They're playing the Rams.
They're playing the Rams, right. They're playing the West. So 10.5 wins. Division has gotten better. Green Bay's better. Chicago will be a better team. Well, Chicago will have a different team. I don't know if they'll be better. They won 7 games last year. I don't know if they're going to win 7 this year. Minnesota, I don't think, will be better as of right now. But I think they can get over 10 because 10 is 10-7. So 10.5, can they win 11 games? Yeah. So I'm going they're going to go over.
What if they get a tie? What if there's a tie and he's got it all wrapped up and all of a sudden it's a tie and it's
10-6-1. I'm glad you brought that up too. I'm glad you brought that up too.
Yeah.
I think the NFL should get rid of overtime before the playoffs.
Really?
Just like hockey. Sometimes you have a tie. And that makes it interesting for the tiebreakers at the end of the season for playoffs. Why? What's wrong with a tie?
There's nothing wrong with a tie. The NFL has ties. They already have ties.
No, but I'm saying forget overtime during the regular season. Get rid of it. If the team's tied, they tie.
The hockey has overtime.
I know, but I'm just saying for the NFL.
Baseball has overtime.
But the NFL, just let it be a tie.
Baseball has overtime.
Let it be a tie.
Why do you hate the NFL?
I hate this overtime rules because then we got to hear the complaining all year long about it ain't fair and these teams should get the ball 15 times at a time. Just get rid of it. If a team finishes 10-6-1, I'm fine with it. If a team finishes 9-7-1 or 9-6-1, I'm fine with it.
All right, fans, ladies and gentlemen, Ken Brown has spoken.
Now, in overtime in the playoffs, then you go to the overtime. I'm fine.
Well,
that's cool.
You got to, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But regular season, it's just a waste of time, Mike. And it'll be more exciting at the end of the season for tiebreakers for playoffs anyway. And I think they should go back to it. But that's me. But anyway, you still haven't said anything about this 10.5. Are you going over or under?
I'm going over.
Over, okay. One other thing while we're talking about that. The league, the Lions put out today that April 18th is the unveiling of the new unis.
Oh, wow.
I know you don't get any. Michael Hare, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, over the years, Michael Hare does not get into the new unis. I'm the only one that does, and I feel that they can brighten a team up and they can make a team better. When the Denver Broncos changed over from those orange uniforms to those blue ones, Elway won a couple of Super Bowls. Seattle Seahawks changed from the blue and silver to that greenish color, whatever that is, and they won a Super Bowl. Teams changed. It's 4 teams that changed uniforms and won a Super Bowl. I saw somebody put it up today. And the Lions could be the 5th now. I just think this omen is there. If they change these uniforms, Super Bowl.
Look, I want the Lions to go back to the 1994 throwbacks that they wore the night that they beat the Dallas Cowboys. And it was one of the great games I've ever seen in my life. And they ought to, just because of that, they ought to go back to those uniforms.
They can use that as the third one if they want to, but that's not. They can't be the main one. You got to have some stuff on the uniform because you got to sell them. You got to sell them.
Hey, that's the whole thing. Good. And if you generate income, that's great. I mean,
now, get rid of those Shawshank prison uniforms. Get rid of those grays. I don't want to see those ever again. They just look like they were doing the roof on the penitentiary.
But you know, I loved them when they first came out. After about two wears, I couldn't stand them. First of all, I couldn't read the score, read the uniform numbers.
Right,
that was part of it, and it's just blah.
Yeah, just blah. Now, if they want to go back to the black,
go ahead.
If they want to go back to the black for their third uniform, I'm fine with that. If they put some black, and I'm gonna tell you some hints to what these uniforms are gonna be. The NFL draft hats came out, and the Lions hat is black with the lion insignia on the front and the white outline on it. So that might be a little hint. Might be a little hint there, Mike.
Black hats.
The hats are black. The NFL draft hats, they just came out this week, and they're black. The Lions hat is black. So maybe that's a little hint. And Rod Wood, in his presser, I think you saw it, he said something about there's a lot of tradition to the new uni, but there's some new things to it. So I'm excited. The Lions put out a tweet this morning, and the unveiling is the 18th, and they had a little locker room sign. Go on Twitter and see it if you want to. But I'm ready. And it's going to leak before the 18th. I guarantee it.
Well, you know, look, nobody's stupid here. There's such a thing as a controlled leak. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
It's a great tool.
You can't keep secrets of this town.
Accidentally came out.
Right.
No. You want people to see it when you want them to see it.
That's right. All right.
Maybe that's just my nature.
That's your nature. You don't care about uniforms anyway. All right, Mike, that's going to wrap this one up. You don't care about uniforms. You're going to wrap this one up, and we'll come back next week. We'll start talking draft. We're into April next week, so that means draft month is here. I just filled my credential out for the draft. I think I'm going to be downtown. Matter of fact, on the Mitch Album Show, we'll be broadcasting from downtown on the 25th, the day of the first round. That's 25th, right? 26th? Okay, whatever the Thursday is, we'll be broadcasting.
It's a Thursday, yeah.
We'll be broadcasting that Thursday night from downtown. So we'll be in the action, and we'll be seeing everything from that point of view. And I'm just going to soak it all in because, you know, I'm a big draft guy anyway. So I'm going to soak it all in. I'm going to enjoy this. But we're going to get deep into draft talk. Next week, we're going to examine what the Lions' needs are and some players. We'll probably get some people on with us the next couple of weeks, some draft guys, so we'll talk about it. And it's going to be exciting, Mike. This is getting time. This is time to win. The Lions are one of the premier teams, time to win. The schedule should come. Did the schedule come out before the draft or after?
Yeah, it's hard to say, but I think it should come out just before the draft.
So we'll have a schedule release where we find out. That 49er Lions game better be a primetime game. That's all I know.
Well, what about the Rams game, too?
I don't care about the Rams game. Aaron Donald's gone now. For all you fans, the Rams are going to be the team. Aaron Donald gone, put him back in the bag. Put him back in the bag. I don't care what Stafford and Puka Nacuku do, put him back in the bag. I'm an Aaron Donald fan, as you see.
Yeah, I can tell.
All right, Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com. Check out his writings. Check out Tim Twentyman, too. Check them both out. They're very good over there.
Check out Tim Twentyman. He's the most prolific man in America.
There you go. And on the Mitch Album Show, we'll be having guests on all month about the draft. Check us out there. Mike O'Hare, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Ken Brown.